Today's daf is Sukkah daf Chof Aleph, and we are at the beginning of a new perek, the second perek of Masechet Sukkah, the Mishnah and daf Chof Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Baruch Bendit ben Devorah Hinda, and Eliezer Shmuel ben Chani Yitta. Today's daf's also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Reb Moshe Chayim. Zokt de Mishnah. Hayoshein tachas hamita besukkah. If somebody sleeps inside a sukkah, but he slept underneath a bed that was inside the sukkah, lo yotza yedei chayvasa. He's not yotza the mitzvah of sukkah. Meaning, sleeping in a sukkah implies that you have to be underneath the schach. If you're sleeping underneath a bed, which is inside a sukkah, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, noyegim ayinu, shehayinu yishenin tachas amita b'fnei askein, v'loyomer lanu davar. Rabbi Yehuda said, that's not true. And I'll prove it to you with a story. Tzimdritin mal in Masech de Sukkah. He says, I recall that we used to sleep in the sukkah, but we would sleep underneath the bed. The skeinim were all there, and nobody said anything, clearly implying that it was okay. Because if it wasn't okay, somebody would have been moich. Amr Shimon, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said, I'll tell you a story. Maisa, there was a story, Betavi Avdish Rabbi Gamliel Watavi, who was the Evid Knani of Rabbi Gamliel. Shoyu Yoshin Tachsamita. He slept in a sukkah, but he slept underneath a bed in the sukkah. Amalim, Rabbi Gamliel, the skeinim. And Rabbi Gamliel told the skeinim, Re'isim Tavi Avdi, do you see my Evid Tavi? Shehu Talmud Chacham. You see, he's a Chacham. He's a Talmud Chacham. Ve'edeya he knows she'avodim p'turim in a sukkah, that an Evid is potim in a sukkah. Lefichach, it's for that reason, Yoshin hu tachas amita. That's why he's sleeping underneath the bed. Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi, the Rishonim have a whole discussion about exactly how this story went down. But Pashup Shad is, Tavi wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. However, at night, sometimes it got a little bit stuffy, and there wasn't enough room for everyone to be there. So it's for that reason, Tavi purposely slept underneath the bed, knowing that he was Potter from mitzvah sukkah, thus he could sleep underneath the bed, implying that everybody else was not able to sleep underneath the bed. That's what the Mishnah says. Ulufi darkeinu lamadnu. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that from this story we can infer that if somebody sleeps underneath a bed in a sukkah, really he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. It was dafka Tavi Avdei Rabbi Gamliel who was potter from the mitzvah of sukkah. Thus, he himself was able to sleep underneath a bed inside the sukkah. So we're going to get back to Tavi Avdei Rabbi Gamliel later in the daf. In general, why is it that an Evid Kanani, who's certainly chayiv in some mitzvahs, is potter from the mitzvah of sukkah? But the theme of the Mishnah is, Hayoshein tachas amita besukkah. If somebody sleeps in a sukkah, but he's sleeping underneath the bed, so usually you sleep on top of the bed, this person was sleeping underneath the bed. Does he fulfill mitzvah sukkah, or does he not fulfill mitzvah sukkah? Clearly, it's a machloikis tanon. The Tanakhama, the Mishnah says, Hayoshein tachas amita besukkah, lo yotzi yedei chayvasai. The Mishnah brought a story. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who brought the story. Tavi Avdoi Shal Rabbi Gamliel, implying that Hayoshen Tachas Amita Besukkah LeYotzi Dei Chayvasai. There is a Das Yochid, however, that argues in the Mishnah. The Das Yochid's Rabbi Yehuda. He says that it is okay to sleep underneath a bed inside a sukkah. And Rabbi Yehuda also proved his position with a story. He says, Noyegim Hayinu, the minig was, Shehayinu Yeshenim Tachas Amita Befnei Askenim, V'loy Amru Lanu Davar. Now, what would be the problem with sleeping underneath a bed inside a sukkah? The problem is, pashit, and this is the segue to the entire daf, because a mita is an oil. Thus, if someone is underneath the mita, he's considered to be underneath something which is inside the sukkah. If a bed would not be a quote-unquote oil, then the fact that you're underneath the bed wouldn't negate the fact that we still view you as if you're inside the sukkah. It's because the area underneath the bed is considered to be covered by an oil that knocks out the broader context so that we view the person who's underneath the bed as if he's underneath the bed, as opposed to being underneath the schach, and it's for that reason he can't be yoitza the mitzvah of sukkah. Speak to Gemara. So if that's the case, shouldn't the bed have to be at least 10 tefachim tall in order to look at it as a makayim unto itself, for it to negate the broader context, which is that the person at the end of the day is sleeping in the sukkah? There's no mention in the Mishnah of this bed being 10 tefachim tall. So the Gemara said, Tirgum and Shmuel, to answer this question, Shmuel commented on the Mishnah and he said, B'mita asara. True, the Mishnah itself didn't say Hayoshin Tachas Hamita, that was Asara Tfachim B'sukkah lo yotzi yedei chayvasai. But Shmuel, in his proverbial Rashi on the side of the Mishnah, in his commentary on the Mishnah, Tirgum and Shmuel said that you have to say the Mishnah is talking about where this was 10 tefachim tall. Now the truth is, all the Rishonim struggle to understand Pashup Shan in this Gemara. Because we know that in order for something to be an oil, it has to cover not an area of 10 tefachim, it has to cover an area of 1 tefach. If you have 1 tefach of height, and then there's something on top of it, that something is considered an oil. And it's negay of many, many, many sugyas ashas. So what's the Gemara's kasha v'haleka asara? Since when do you have to have an area, height of 10 tefachim, in order to say that something that's on top of that is considered an oil? 1 tefach is always the shear that you need for an oil, not 10 tefachim. So I am Barishonim, who all discuss this in very great detail. But the Gemara is going to now go into the halachos of oil. We're discussing oil because if the underneath of a bed is considered an oil, then hayosh and tachas amita besukah lo yotza yedei chayvasi. So we're going to have a daf gemara that, for all intents and purposes, could be a mesechtes halos. It could be in other areas, meaning we're going to discuss the laws of oil. Specifically, what we're going to discuss is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So again, the Mishnah said hayosh and tachas amita besukah lo yotza yedei chayvasi. We know why. It's because we look at the area underneath the bed as if it's covered by the bed, which is an oil. Shmuel, for whatever mysterious reason, said, must be 10 tefachim tall. But the point is, that area is an oil. If it's an oil, so it's mafsik between the person and the schach. Thus, the person's not considered, he's not deemed to be in the sukkah. He's deemed to be in this separate area that is Tachas Amita. But Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda proved it with a story. Noya gemo yinu sho yinu yishenim Tachas Amita b'fnei haskenim v'lo yamru lana dover. Nobody made a peep. Nobody said anything. Nobody said, how are you allowed to do that? Vaistois, we were allowed to do that. So the question is, what's Pashup Shan and Shita's Rabbi Yehuda? I understand Rabbi Yehuda proved it from a story, but what's the fundamental principle that underlies this Shita? At the end of the day, if a bed is an oil, and why shouldn't it be? Shmuel said it's even 10 tefachim tall. So if that's the case, why would Rabbi Yehuda argue that's the backdrop of today's daf? So the Gemara Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah over there, and in this Gemara, there is the third perek of Masechtes Aholos. Echod chor shechareru mayim. If you have a hole in the ground that was created by water, so the water disintegrated the ground to the point that there's a hole there, or there's a hole that came about through shrotzim. So different creatures, they dug a hole, or salt, or natural minerals created this hole. Or you have a little bit of a gap inside a wall that came about through stones. So you have a stone on the right, a stone on the left, another stone on top, so there's a little bit of a hole in between all these stones. Or if you have a bunch of kairos, a bunch of beams that are lined up, and because of the way that they're positioned, there's a little gap inside. So it says the Mishnah, Mahal Alatoma. The halach is these gaps, as long as they're 1 tefach tall, which is the minimum height you have to have in order to create an oil, would be considered to be underneath the oil. Meaning, the hole that's inside the ground, or the hole that was created by the shrotzim, or by salt, or by avanim and kairos, are considered a hole, so that if you would have kezias of a mace underneath that hole, and something that's tar underneath that hole as well, that thing would contract tumma via tumma's oil. Rabbi Yehuda argues. He says, "Kol oil sheini asib de yadam enei oil. An oil is only considered an oil if it was man-made. However, if it wasn't man-made, it happened naturally, or was made through an animal, so then the halacha is, it's not going to be considered an oil. Rashi says, bidei adam, last line, mischaven lasoisei oil. If a person makes the oil, then it was done by kavon, and only then is the oil considered an oil. So Rabbi Yehuda has a chiddush in Masechtas Aholos, and that is an oil has to be made al yidei adam, it has to be made by kavona. But kol oil she'enoy asoy bidei adam holds Rabbi Yehuda enoy. Says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's some card to Rabbi Yehuda? Yalif oil mi mishkan. He learned it gzeira shava from the mishkan. Ksivach, it says regarding tumas oil by tumas mei zoisa teira adam kiyamus ba oil. Fixiv hasam, and it says there by the mishkan vayifrois es ha oil ala mishkan, that the oisei ha mishkan, they went and Moshe Rabbeinu, he took the oil and he spread it on top of the mishkan. Malahalam b'dei adam, just like over there, Moshe Rabbeinu was one that did it. He was a person, ashri yelud isha. At the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu was an adam, afkam b'dei adam. So too, we learn from here that every oil, even zaysa teira adam kiyamos ba oil, even the oil of Masechtas Aholos has to be dafka ayudei adam. The Rabbanon don't hold it as gzeira shava. So the Gemara says oyel oyel riba. In theory, they would hold of the gzeira shava. But if you look in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, where the Torah talks about tumas oil, it mentions the word oil so many times. Oyel oyel riba. It's clearly coming to be marba. It's such an inclusive parsha, the parsha of oil. See, even something that you would have had a havamina, ben benoy shel havamina, maybe shouldn't be considered an oil because it wasn't made ayudei adam. It's still going to be considered an adam. So tanan hasam, we have a mishnah in Masechtas Aholos machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether an oil in the context of tumas oil, does it have to be made dafka bidei adam bikavona or not? Rabbi Yehuda's shita is kol oil she'enoy asoy bidei adam enoy oil. Rabbi Yehuda learned it not from a maisa. Rabbi Yehuda learned it from a gzeira shava, oil from the mishkan. The Chachamim argue, and the Chachamim say oil riba. It says so many times the word oil. Even an oil that's not made bidei adam, the halach is considered an oil. Freit the Gemara kash. So Rabbi Yehuda kol oil she'enoy asoy bidei adam enoy oil. Again, this Gemara is primarily an analysis of Rabbi Yehuda's shita in the Mishnah Masechtas Aholos. And then we're going to circle back. You can see where this is going already, to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah Masechtas Sukkah. But first we're discussing Rabbi Yehuda Masechtas Aholos. So the Gemara says, is that true? Rabbi Yehuda Shita is an oil, she'enei asa b'dei adam, is not considered an oil v'raminu. I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah Masechtas Para. Now Rashi gives us a little bit of a context, a little bit of background for this Mishnah. So I think it's worth speaking out. And that is, there's a mitzvah of Para Aduma. What's Para Aduma? If somebody is Tomei Tumas Meis, in addition to all the things he has to do in order to become tar, such as go to the mikveh, like every person that's tamei has to do, he also needs to attain tahira through the parah aduma. The parah aduma was a special carbon / animal. It was brought on harazesim. It was brought lekatchila by the skan koyim gadol. There were different koyhanim that did different aspects of it, but ultimately there was a shechita, there was some sort of zrika that was done with this parah aduma. Then it was burnt. The ashes were taken. They were mixed together with water. The water had to be mayim chayim. It had to come from a natural spring. And the combination, the taruvis of the ashes and the water were then sprinkled on the person that was Tomei Tumas Meis by Yom HaShlishi uBayom HaShvi'i. This was a 7-day Tahira process. And then at the conclusion of the 7 days, this person became Tahar. Now, there was a machloikis between the Tzedukim and the Prushim as to one detail, which at first glance would seem very, very minor and very, very subtle, regarding the preparation of the ashes of the Parah Aduma. The Tzedukim held that if somebody is a tful yoin, somebody became tameh, he went to the mikveh, but he's not going to be fully tahar until the sun sets, which once upon a time, that was always the halacha. In the world of tumah and tahira, a person, for whatever the tumah was, came in contact with the sheretz. So he goes to the mikveh, but at the same time, he's not tahar. It's the first mission in Shas. Mishosh akoyanim nechnasan lechel b'trumasan. A kohen that was tameh, that went to the mikveh, is not let to eat truma until tzeis akechavim, until the sun sets. Now, when a person is tameh, goes to the mikveh, and the sun didn't set yet, he's considered a tful yoyim. A tful yoyim, qualitatively, is considered to be in a lesser state of tumah. The Tzedukim were of the opinion that a tful yoim is not allowed to engage in the mice of the parah aduma. Meaning, a koyin that's a tful yoim can't be the koyin that's going to be soyrif hasapar. The Tzedukim argued. And because the Prushim argued, meaning the Talmidei Chachamim, meaning the Skein, and because they were so sure that
what the tzedukim were doing was wrong, and they were so afraid that people may follow the custom of the tzedukim, they did something that at first glance would seem to be very, very shocking. They would purposely go out of their way to make the koyin asayrif as hapara into a tful yoyim to prove to the tzedukim, lahoytzi miliban shal tzedukim, that it is okay for a koyin asayrif as hapara to do the maisa of the parah aduma, even though he's a tful yoyim. Now the truth is, it's a very, very big chiddush. We spoke about some of the pnimius ha'inyan b'shem Rabbi Yosef Engel. Ali mentioned it at the Siyam on Masechtas Yuma. But the point is that there was an idea that they would go out of their way to be metama the koyin asayir of hasapara, make him into a tful yoyim, lahitzi miliben shal tzadaykin. But the Chachamim felt that this in and of itself came with a very expensive invoice. Because if you're saying that a koyin asayir of hasapara l'katchila should be a tful yoyim, we're a little concerned now that people are going to start being mezalzel in Tumah as it relates to Parah Aduma. Imagine, we literally were metama the Koyen Asayrif as Parah. We went out of our way to make him Tumah. It almost feels like maybe we want Tumah. So, lahoitzi mi liban shel ha lahoitzi mi liban shel tzadaykim. The Chachamim then went to great lengths to show that even though we're making the Koyin HaSarif HaSapara into a tful yoyim, it's not because we don't think there's a big deal, Tumah and Parah Adumah. Just the opposite. Parah Adumah is the quintessential taira. So of course, you have to make sure that it's tar. We did what we did. We made the koyin HaSarif HaSapara, Tommy. Yeah, that's lahoitzi mi liban shel tzadaykim. We had a cheshbon of why we did it. But to make sure that nobody is going to misinterpret what it is we did, the Chachamim then went and they reversed the whole story. And they took upon chumras that you don't find anywhere else in Kol HaTorah Kula to make sure that people understand that the Koyin HaSarif HaSapara and the ashes that were used for the Parah Aduma had to be 1,000% Tahar. So it's a little bit of a dichotomy. On the one hand, when it comes to Parah Aduma, they were bedafka metama the Koyin HaSarif HaSapara, but on the flip side, as we're about to see right now, they went to extreme lengths, irrational lengths, to make sure that it was done 100% b'tahira. How does that make sense? If you know the rest of the story, it makes perfect sense. Because the Chachamim dafka wanted the Kohen HaSarif HaSapara to be a tful yoyim, lahoitzi miliban shel tzadaykim, so if they were going to be metama the Kohen, they had a balance that with showing that we're taking Tumah very seriously, and that's why they did what we're about to learn. So says the Gemara, Viraminu, I'm going to ask you a question again. Sover Rabbi Yehuda kol oil sheni asu b'dei adam eni oil. That's true. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that an oil that's not asu b'dei adam is not an oil. We learned in the Mishnah in Masechet Nisporach. Chatzeros hayu benuyos b'Yerushalayim agabei asela. The Chachamim built chatzeros. They literally built small developments on top of a sela. These were natural rocks, Rashi says, that dated back to Sheshes Yemei Bereshes. What was the significance? The significance was, if this rock you can somehow trace back to the beginning of time, you know nobody's buried underneath it. So the idea was to build these chatzeris, these developments, on top of areas where there's no chashash that maybe there's a mace buried underneath, so that there's no chashash that a person that lives in that chatzer is tameh tumas mace, because he himself was mal on top of the mace. V'tachteyem chol. Now, they weren't even happy with that. You would think, if this cellar is here from Sheshes Mei Bereshes, say, you know, there's no mace there. So if somebody's there, how in the world is he to become Tomei Tomas Mace? But they wanted to make 1,000% sure. So what they did was they created a Chalal Tefach. So they built this chatzer on top of pegs, however exactly they did it, some sort of foundation that had the depth of a tefach, so that if even though there was a mace buried underneath there, that Chalal Tefach would now serve as an oil. If it serves as an oil, so the Tumah would get knocked out. So anyone that's on top of the Chatzar is for sure not Tumah. Ne kever atoim, just in case. Maybe there's a kever somewhere in the Tumah. V'yem noshem uboris. Then they would bring pregnant women to this Chatzar, v'yodei sham, and they would give birth to their children over there, so that the child that was born will have never been anywhere other than inside that chatzar. Because if the child is anywhere else, maybe the person became tummy in that other place. Magadlis b'neim sham, they would raise their children there. There were yeshivas there, you had rabbeim there. There was literally a ganza matzav over there to make sure that this family had everything that they needed. What was the purpose of it? Lepar. It was all for the parah aduma. Okay, how so? Mavi and shvarim, they would bring oxen. V'al gabeim dalsis, they would put doors on top of these
oxen. The children would sit on top of these doors. And they would hold koisos, cups that were made of stone. The significance of the fact that it was made of stone is that stone is not makabel tum. They would go to the shiloyach. That was the spring from which the water that was used for the ashes of the parah aduma was taken. Then these children would get off the boards. They would go into the water. They would fill them up. And they would bring it back to their moshav. They would eventually get it to Harazesim, which is where it had to be brought, and that's where they would mix it together with the ashes of the parah aduma, and that's how they used the parah aduma. Rabbi Yossi said it was done a little bit differently. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't agree that the children ever got off the boards that were on top of the parah. Rather, what they would do is they would sit on top of the boards, and they would be mishalshal. They would take the cup, they would have it through some sort of pulley system, go down into the water, and that's the way they would fill up nekev ratoim, because Rabbi Yossi said, if we're so paranoid and we're so worried that these children not become tummy, why would you ever want them to get off these boards? Now, why did the Chachamim argue? Because the Chachamim held that you're not allowed to take the water for the paraduma through shilshol. If you were allowed to do it, they would agree. That's for sure the better way to do it. If your only objective is to make sure you don't become tummy. The problem is they held to be mishalshol is in of itself not okay. And it's for that reason they couldn't do this. Rabbi Huda said, I also have one comment on what the Mishnah says. That when the children used to go to the shiloyach to get the water, so they didn't sit on top of these doors that were on top of the shvarim. Rather, they sat on top of the shvarim themselves. Now, the big picture of what's going on in this mission is that we're so careful. We want to make sure that the water that's going to be used to mix together with the parah aduma is tahar water, that we're going to extreme lengths to make sure that this water is going to be tahar. And we're taking irrational steps. And again, why are we doing it? So we explain why we're doing it. But as you go through the more detailed aspects of the Mishnah, so there was a little bit of a machlokes tanan. Rabbi Yossi had a comment on the Mishnah. He said that they were mishalshal, that's the way they took the water out. Rabbi Yehuda's comment, and that's what we're going to focus on, was that when the children went from their chotzer to the shiloyach to go take the water, they didn't sit on top of dalsos. Rather, what they sat on top of was shvarim. Now, why are we sitting on top of doors anyways? Why are we sitting on top of shvarim? What's this all about? It's the same idea. We want to make sure that when the child leaves the chatzah for the first time in his life, he's not going to be mile on top of tumah, right? The child was literally born inside this shtetl, inside this chatzah. Now he has to go to the shiloyach. His big job, he's literally kilokach noitzarta, in a literal sense, he's going to have to take water out. We have to make sure that he's not going to be tameh. Now, how do you know when the child is on his way to the shiloyach, he's not going to be tameh? That's what we do, is we put him on top of this board, or on top of this shar, and that's what's going to protect him. So the dalsois are going to serve as an oil to be mafsik between the child and any tumah that might be underneath him. Rabbi Yehuda said that the delis is not what was mahil, but the shor itself. They took a breita shor, a very wide shor, and the shor itself is what was mahil. A shor is an oil shenei asoy b'dayadam. A shor is born naturally. Viktani, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Loi hayim mevi'in dalsos el shvarim." And yet, Rabbi Yehuda says that what was the oil that was used? It was a shtar. If that's the case, we have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah Masechtas Ahalois that kol oil she'enei asu b'dayadam enei oil, and that's why chur shecharu mayim oishrotzim oishachasay melachas mitbechavonim savir shel kairos. These things are considered an oil according to the Chavim, not according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's an oil she'enei asu b'dayadam. And here Rabbi Yehuda himself says that the shor itself was able to serve as an oil. Now the truth is, the two oils that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about are not the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Masechtas Aholos is discussing an oil that is going to convey tumas meis. We have a mace or kezayis of a mace underneath the oil, and then you have a person or a keli or something else underneath the oil. So the oil itself has the ability to convey tumah from item A onto item B. Over here we're discussing not an oil that's going to convey tumah, but just the opposite. An oil that's going to be chaytzeitz mipnei atumah. The concept of the oil over here is that any person that's on top of the oil will not become tumah from any tumah that's underneath it. But the Gemara doesn't think there's a chiluk between the two. Because if the oil that's eni asa b'day adam can't be mevi tumah, then it shouldn't be able to be chaytzeitz mipnei atumah. It's the same mesachtes aholos. Either it's an oil, it's not an oil. And if Rabbi Yehuda holds from Xeris Shava that called oil she'eni asa b'day adam eni oil, he learns it zois teres adam adam kiyam espoil, vayifreis es oil ala mishkan, then l'chur, the same thing should be over here. So the Gemara Gemara says, Yes, Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He reported back. He said, Amar Rabbi Laz,
I'll tell you what the Amar Rabbi Laz said in Eretz Yisrael. So most of what Rav Dimi came and reported back was from Rabbi Yochanan. This he said in the name of Rabbi Laz. Rabbi Laz was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Yochanan. After Rish Lakish, the second most prominent of Rabbi Yochanan's Talmidim was Rabbi Loza. So Rabbi Loza said, Moide Rabbi Yehuda kimaloi agrif. Even though it's true, Rabbi Yehuda said that kol oil sheni yasa b'dei adam eni oil. However, Rabbi Yehuda was referring dafka to the minimum shear oil. A minimum shear oil is a tefach. And if the whole area that the oil is covering is a tefach, then Rabbi Yehuda has an opinion that if the oil is ene yasa b'dei adam, ene oil. However, if the area that the oil is covering is a larger area, such as it's a maloy egroiv, it's the size of a fist, so then already it's going to be different. Tanya nami hachi, moide Rabbi Yehuda was moide b'shkifim u'benekikei haslot, meaning Rabbi Yehuda was moide to what he argued with in the Mishnah Masechtas Aholos, where all these natural crevices are not considered an oil. But in the event you have a much larger area, Shkifin, Nekike Aslam, where you have a natural oil, but it's much larger than a chur, which is very, very small, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be moida. What's the difference? If Rabbi Yehuda has a shita that kol oil, she'ini yasa b'dei adam, any oil, my time, k'zei reshava oil, what's the difference if it's big or small? The Teretz is, you see, for me, moida Rabbi Yehuda, this is the way it is. The Rabbi Yehuda only said is halach if it's small. What does small mean? It's a tefach. But once it's already large, what is large? It's kemaloi egro, if it's the size of a fist, at that point, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be moida. So Rashi says what the makor is to this shear maloy egrif. That's not a shear you see every day. Rashi sends us to a Mishnah Masechtas Kelim and a Masechtas Aholos. Ayin Shama. The point is that even though Rabbi Yehuda does in fact hold a kol oil sheni yasa b'dei adam eni oil, but there is a certain shear where even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that if the oil is eni yasa b'dei adam, it still will be considered in oil. Freit the Gemara Kasha. Vari deles di yesh b'kama greifen. Rabbi Yehuda argued with the Chachamim in terms of how they transported the children that grew up on this chatzer to the Shiloyach in order to take the water for the Parah Aduma. According to the Chachamim, they traveled on a delis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they traveled on top of the shot. Now the Gemara is assuming right now in the question, we'll see, the Gemara is going to debate this assumption. But right now we're assuming that the reason Rabbi Yehuda said they put him on top of a shar is because Rabbi Yehuda, they couldn't put him on top of a delis. A delis would not have been okay. Now why would a delis not be okay? So the Gemara doesn't explain, but Pashup Shad is, Rashi says, Kasolka Daite Mishum De Ain Derech Oil Bekach, because it's just not a Derech Oil. And it's really a little bit Rabbi Yehuda Lishnitasai, maybe. Just like Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Oil Sheni Asabi De Yadam Ain Oil, Rabbi Yehuda has a very strict definition of what an oil is. So a delis, a door, is not enough of an oil. An oil has to be something, at the very least, that's a little bit more chashav. But tainus the Gemara, if even Rabbi Yehuda that says, called oil she'ene yasa b'dei adam ene oil, is only true if it's a tefach, but once it's already a maloy egrif, at that point, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to admit it is an oil. So you would think regarding the delis, it should be the same thing. Even if Rabbi Yehuda has a shita that the delis is not a real oil, but once it covers over a larger area, you would think it should be an oil. So the Gemara, very delis the ish b'kame egrif. The delis covered the area of kame, right? The delis that would have been carrying the children was hovering over a large area. So it's much for me that Rabbi Yehuda, when he says something's not an oil, he means it's not an oil. And it doesn't matter even if it's covering an area of a malayger. Rabbi Abaye said that I don't agree with the assumption. The assumption was that when Rabbi Yehuda said that they would transport the children on top of shvarim as opposed to on top of dalsis, it's not because Rabbi Yehuda held they weren't allowed to use dalsis. Just the opposite. What it means was loy hutzruchu lahavi dalsis. They didn't have to bring dalsis. Who said Rabbi Yehuda holds they couldn't bring dalsis? Maybe they were able to bring dalsis. He was just saying they didn't have to bring dalsis. Rava argued. He says no. Loy hoyim mevi'in dalsis kol ikar. I agree with the assumption of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is that they didn't bring dalsis. Why? Not because it's not an oil. Really, it would be an oil. And even though it's a flimsy-ish oil, but it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, it's being mal on an area of maloy agrif, so it's from an oil perspective, it would have been an oil. But the reason is, when they should daito shaltina gasa olive, because we're worried, at the end of the day, these are children. And even though they were raised biktusha v'tahaira, literally, but at the same time, these children are still children. So you're going to take them now on a trip, this is the first time they're leaving the shtetl, and they're on top of these dalses, they may start jumping around, and you never know what's going to happen. Shema yoytzi roish, oy oy echon meivarv, and you see from here, a kin blight. Again, right? You can raise a child, but at the end of the day, take him out for 1 second from the shteytl, and all of a sudden he's poking his head out. That's the way it is. V'yitamim b'kever ha'tayim, and then he's going to be k'tamim. So Yehuda Taka didn't want you to be on top of a delos. But this has nothing to do with Masechtas Aholos. This is more in the context of understanding the psychology of a child, and this is something that he was worried about. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav, a raya to Rav's pshat. That what? That when Rav Yehuda said they used to transport them on shvarim and not on the dalsos, it's not because of Aholos, but it was related to this idea of a child, because Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Lo himivin dalsus kolikum neshatayte shaltine gasol of shem yoytzi roishay yachem eivarev viyetamir bekever atoyim." That's why we didn't want them on top of doors. Hello, what did they do? Mivin shvarim hamitzrim. They would bring breite shvarim. These shvarim came from Egypt. They were very wide. The children were sitting on top of them, and they were holding koises that were made of stone. When they came to the shulech, they filled them up. They brought it back. So what do you see from here? Rabbi Yehuda is adding a little bit of language. Again, this is another example where Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah is a little ambiguous. It's not clear where Rabbi Yehuda holds in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda just said that they used to put them on top of shvarim, not on top of dalsos. Why not dalsos? Right? We're not sure. Is it because Yitaka, they didn't want them on dalsos? That's what Rava said. Abaye said, no, they just didn't have to be on top of dalsos. Again, the Mishnah was written b'lashon k'tzara. So from the Mishnah itself, we have an Abaye v'Rava. But once you see the Braisa, there's no Abaye v'Rava anymore. That's the Tanya Kavase de Rava. It's a Mefurish Braisa, which supports what Rava said. But the Gemara asks one more kasha, and that is our sugya. V'hare mita. What about the bed in our Mishnah? Again, the Mishnah was discussing how Yoshin Tachas Hamita Besuka Yotzni Yedechay Vasa Lo Yotzni Yedechay Vasa. Chamim said Lo Yotzni Yedechay Vasa. Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said the meaning was that we used to sleep underneath the bed and nobody said anything. Now, what would be Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? We said must be because he held that a bed is not considered an oil. It's some sort of inferior oil. Now, what would be inferior about the oil of a bed? It's also be the Yadam, right? Somebody made the bed. What would be inferior is it's an oil aroy. It's temporary. Usually when you think of an oil, you think of a roof. You can move the roof. A bed is, if you can't move the roof, the bed is something that's easily transportable. As a result, it's considered an oil aroy. But again, the Gemara's kasha is, if Rabbi Yehuda that holds that an oil, she'ene yosebi de'yodam, even though it's not an oil based on Xeris Shava, but once it covers over an area of Malayegrif, it is considered an oil, then it would seem reasonable that the same should be true regarding an oil aroy, for example. That even though Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that an oil aroy is not an oil, but at the same time, if it covers over an area of Malayegrif, it should be an oil. So if that's the case, what's pshat in what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah? Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said over in the name of Rabbi Lazar that even Rabbi Yehuda, who has such a strict definition of oil, but if it covers a large area, it's going to be considered an oil, then l'chura you would think that a good sushtal to that is under a Mishnah. V'arimita d'yesh b'kam e'groifim v'tanan Rabbi Yehuda amin noyegim v'yinu she'yun nishenim tachas amit b'fnei askenim. So what was the reason that it was not considered an oil in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Shani, mita, you have to say mita is different. Hayul u'legaba asuya. Mita is worse than a bad oil. Mita is not an oil at all, because a mita's function is to sleep on top of the bed, not to sleep underneath the bed. An oil, at the end of the day, is something that was made, or even if it happened naturally, but of the oil is that it's covering something. So when you look at a mita, you don't see a covering, you see a bed. So that even though it's true, you technically can look at a mita as an oil, but it's ligaba asuya. It's Iker is for what's on top of it, not for what's underneath it, and for that reason, it's not an oil. Frank the Gemara, the obvious question, Shvarim Nami Ligabon Asuyin. Rabbi Yehuda held that the shor was considered an oil to protect the children when they were going to get the water. Finapara Aduma. So, Luchura, there to the shor, what's the purpose of the shor? For what's underneath the shor? No, it's for what's on top of the shor. Skios and Ravin. So, we have Rav Dimi, we almost always have Ravin. So, Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Rabbi Loz, he said also, over in the name of Rabbi Loz, Shani Shvarim, Hoyle Maginan al Aroyim, Becham Neachama, Ubikshom Ibnechshom. So, the shepherds that were out in the field when it was very, very hot, so they would sometimes go underneath the shar to protect themselves from the sun. Or if it was raining, they would go underneath the shar to protect themselves from the rain. So the shar actually was used sometimes as an ihachimita nami. So why don't you say the same thing about a bed? You put shoes and you put your sandals sometimes underneath the bed. So you see, a bed can also protect sometimes. So why are we saying, oh, because the gabah suyas never used underneath? It's not true. It's not used any less than the shar. Elama Ravas, Ravas said, you're right. You have to say shani shvarim. Because the shvarim would actually protect the back of the shar, protect the bones of the shar.
in theory, Shenemar, and there's a pasuk to support this idea. Iyov said, "Oru baser talbisheni ubat samois figidim to soichecheni." So Iyov said that my oru, my baser, they protected me to soichecheni. Miloshen schach, right? They covered me and they protected me. So you see, there's an idea that one part of a person's body can protect another part of a person's body. So the back of the shar is used legaba. You ride on top of a shar, but the back of a shar also protects the shar itself. What's underneath it? So on some level, it's viewed naturally as being an oil. And if it's viewed naturally as being an oil, so it's for that reason it's going to be okay. So again, why did we have this whole long-winded discussion about Shittas Rabbi Yehuda as it relates to oil? It was all to lead up to one kasha. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, if somebody sleeps underneath a bed in a sukkah, he could be yoitza. What's the kasha? Why is the bed not an oil? Rabbi Tirgama Shmuel wrote on the side of his Gemara that what was this bed? This bed was 10 tfachim. It was 10 tfachim. It's for sure an oil. What's the question? One tfach's an oil. If it's 10 tfachim, it's for sure an oil. So why is it not an oil? Oh, the Teretz is Rabbi Yehuda holds. It's only an oil aroi. But I thought Rabbi Yehuda, in all his oyalim, that he was very medactic with, admit that if it covered over an area that's even the size of a fist, it's considered an oil. Why would this be any worse? And one says, oh, this one's worse. No, this one's worse. This is worse than an oil sheni asa b'dei adam. This is worse than a deles. This is a really, really bad oil. And the reason is because the purpose of a bed is ligaba. It's not for what's underneath it. An oil at the end of the day, according to Rabbi Yehuda, again, this is only Rabbi Yehuda Shita, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, an oil has to be ligaba for what? Been constructed for the area that's underneath it. I mean that the bed was constructed for the area that's on top of it. It's for that reason it's not considered an oil. But this is all the first mahalach in Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. There's another pshana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh. The reason Rabbi Yehuda holds that the bed is not an oil is not because Rabbi Yehuda can't figure out a way to make it work as being an oil. Really, it couldn't be an oil. It covers an area of Maloy Agrav. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold it as an oil. But Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasid amas sukkah diras kva beina. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that a sukkah has to be a diras. Where'd Rabbi Yehuda say it? Rabbi Yehuda in the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Sukkah shegivay l'mayim yaser ma'am psula. Rabbi Yehuda machshir. If that's the case, probably mita diras haroi. So it comes out that the mita, at the best, is going to be an oil haroi. It's a diras haroi. V'sukkah oil kva. Whereas the sukkah itself is an oil kva. V'liyosni oil haroi mevat oil kva. And Rabbi Yehuda shnit is that an oil haroi can't knock out an oil kva. Meaning, you want to look at the bed in a vacuum. If it covers an area that's big enough, it will be considered an oil, even in Rabbi Yehuda Shita. The problem over here is not the oil in the vacuum. The problem is what you want to do with the oil. You don't want to be metametumas mace with the oil. What you're trying to do is you want this oil to create an area unto itself. You want it to establish its own zip code. So if somebody's underneath the oil, we don't see him as being in the sukkah. We see him being underneath the oil. That it can't do. Because an oil aroi doesn't have the ability to impact the broader context if that broader context is an oil kvaf. Read the Gemara, Akash. For Reb Shimon, the Amenami sukkah diris kvaf. Reb Shimon was also of the opinion that a sukkah is a diris kvaf. So Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon were two of the many tanam that the Gemara said were of the opinion that an oil is a, that a sukkah has to be a diras kva. Where do you see it in Reb Shimon? Because Reb Shimon argues with the Chacham. The Chacham hold that a sukkah has to be three walls. Shnayim kilchasan v'shlishas afilu tefach. Reb Shimon shita is four walls. Shloisha kilchasan u'refiyas afilu tefach. Why would Reb Shimon hold four walls? Oh, because Reb Shimon shita was that an oil has to be a diras kva. Yet Reb Shimon holds v'asi oil aroi u'mevatol oil kva. Reb Shimon was mentioned in our Mishnah. He brought the story with Tavi Avdei Shabbat Gamliel, and we learned from that story that a yashan tachas amita b'sogol la yotz. So, if there's an idea that an oil aroi can't be mevatel an oil kva, then how could Reb Shimon disagree with that? So, Bishlam, if Reb Shimon held that a sukkah is a diras aroi, it's okay, that's no shaykhis. But if Reb Shimon shita is that a sukkah is a diras kva, and it is Reb Shimon shita, so how could he hold it's okay? So the Gemara says, what's the problem? Maybe that is the machloik. It's marasava asa oil aroi mevatel oil kva. That's Reb Shimon shita. Marasava lay asa oil aroi mevatel oil kva. And that's Reb Yehuda shita. Regardless, it's a second pshat in Reb Yehuda shita. Why is Reb Yehuda hold Hayoshen tachas amito besukko yotze yedei chayvasoi? What happened to the fact that he's sleeping underneath an oil? When the teretz is, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that sukkah diras kva be'inan and oil aroi can't be mevatel the diras kva. So we have two pshatim in Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Hayashen tachas amita besukkah lo yatzo yedei chay vasay. Why? Because the mita is considered an oil. Befrat Shmuel said that we're talking about where it was 10 tefachim tall. So for sure, this is an oil. So if you're underneath the bed, you're not in the sukkah. You're in the bed. And that's not a kosher sukkah. As a result, you can't be yoitza, your mitzvah sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda, however, argues. Why does he argue? So we have two pshatim as to why Rabbi Yehuda would argue. Either he argued because he held that a bed
or the area underneath the bed can't be considered to be covered by an oil, because legabo asuya, or Rabbi Yehuda argue, not because a bed's not an oil, bed's an oil. However, sukkah has to be a diras kva. This oil is for sure an oil aroy, v'loy asi oil aroy, umavatal oil kva. Amar Rab Shimon. Rab Shimon ended the Mishnah, and he said, I'll tell you a story. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda had a story. Rab Shimon says, I'll tell you a story that happened. Ma'isa, there was a story, b'tavi adish Rabbi Gamliel, tavi who was the eved of Rabbi Gamliel, shay yashin tachas amit, he was sleeping underneath the bed inside a sukkah. V'amal Rabbi Gamliel, the skein Rabbi Gamliel told the skein, and re'isin tavi adi, you see my eved tavi, shu talmud chacham, he's so wise. V'yodeya, he knows shnavadim p'turim in a sukkah. That an Evet's potter from Sukkah. Lefichach is for that reason, Yoshinu Tachzamita. That's why he's sleeping underneath the bed. Lefidar Kenu Lamadu. We learn from there, said Rav Shimon, Shay Yoshin Tachzamita Leyotze Yedei Chevasis. Again, what was going on? The Oilam was sitting in the Sukkah, and Tavi, who was the Evet of Rabbi Gamliel, also wanted to sleep in the Sukkah. Now, Tavi was an Evet Knani. Because he was an Evet Knani, he was potter from the mitzvah of Sukkah. An Evet Knani is obligated in some mitzvahs, he's potter from other mitzvahs. When the Rambam in his Yad Chazaka describes the Evet Knani, he refers to him as a Yisrael b'miktsas. He's a shtickle yid. So he's chayiv in some mitzvahs because he's a shtickle yid. He's potter from other mitzvahs because he's a shtickle not a yid. Now, which mitzvahs is he chayiv? Which mitzvahs is he potter? We have gzeira shava, la meisha. Anything that a woman's chayiv in, eved knani's chayiv in. Anything a woman's potter, eved knani's potter. A woman's potter from the mitzvah of sukkah. We're going to learn about it later on daf chafchetz. So to an eved knani is also potter. So Rabbi Gamliel said, look at Tavi. He's such a lamdan. Meaning, he's in the sukkah because he wants to be mekayim the mitzvah sukkah, but at the same time, he understands that he's potter. So if there's a problem with space, he was the one that kriched underneath the bed. So like this, it won't be a problem. So what do you see from there? Because otherwise, anybody could have slept underneath the bed. Oh, Tavi's the one that's going underneath the bed. Because Tavi understands that you can't be yotze, and he's the one person in the sukkah that's really potter from the mitzvah. Tanya, I'm Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said, from the sicha of Rabbi Gamliel, lamadnu shnei dvarim, we see two things. Lamadnu nabon shavadam p'tur min ha-sukkah. You see that in Evet's potter min ha-sukkah. The lamadnu it. Additionally, we learn from here, Shayoshin Tachas Amito, Lo Yotze Yedei Chayvaseh. If someone sleeps underneath the bed, Lo Yotze Yedei Chayvaseh. Meaning, we're focusing more on the topic of the Mishnah. Hayoshin Tachas Amito, Basukh, Lo Yotze Yedei Chayvaseh. Really, there's another thing you see from here. The premise of the proof, which is that an Eved is Potter from Sukkah. Now, why do we need a special limud to say that an Eved Potter from Sukkah? Typically, anything that a woman is Potter in, an Eved is Potter in. You would think, so it's Tosfos Kasha. We'll see more about this later in the week. Feita Gemara, Filema, a very, very subtle diuk. And that is, why did Rab Shimon say Misichasa Yish Rabbi Gamliel? He should have said Midvarov Shor Rabbi Gamliel. Sicha means to shmooze. From the shmoozerai of Rabbi Gamliel, you see, from the shmoozerai of Rabbi Gamliel, from the Hele Gevarta from Rabbi Gamliel. Why would he say Misichasai? So the Gemara says, Milsa Agav Orchi Kamashman, because Rav Shimon wanted to teach us something, Agav Orchi. Ki Yod Omer Rav Acha Bar Ado, the Amri Lo Sam say, Omer Rav Acha Bar Ado, Omer Rav Hamnuna, Omer Rav, Minayin Shafilu Sichas Chulin, Shel Talmidei Chachamim Tzrichin Limud. How do you know that even the Sichas Chulam V'Talmid Chacham needs Limud? Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'aleo lo yibail, its leaves do not wither. Nothing that comes from a Talmud Chacham comes in vain. Nothing withers. See, even the Sicha Kala V'Talmid Chacham is Tzricha Talmud. That's what Shem Baichai wanted to prove. He said, Misichas Rishavak, he could have said Midvarav, but he was trying to show that I heard Rabbi Gamliel shmuzing ki'ilu, saying sichas chulin, and you think it was sichas chulin, misichasish Rabbi Gamliel, I learned two halachas. I learned that Eved Knani is potter from mitzvah sukkah, and I also learned that Yashan tachas amita besukkah, lo yotza yidei chayvasei. Now, who said this line? That afilu sichas chulin shal tamid chacham and tzrichan limud? It's Rav. It's not shocking. Rav is the ultimate shaskin. The Rambam says, Omra Rav Tamar Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Shaloi Soch Sicha, Soch Sicha, right? Soch Sicha Betela Kol Yomav. That Rav never spoke a Sicha Betela. This is one of the many Gemaras in Chazal where Rav is talking about Shtika in the Ikkad Amri. This comes from Rav. Rav was the one that said, Sicha Schulen Shal Tamid HaKham Tzrichan Talmud. I saw the Rav Ruven Margolis in a Seif in the Tzoy Tzayar says that the Gemara says, Gedoylo Shimusha Yoyser Mei Limuda, that being Meshamesh a Talmud Chacham is even G'doyla than learning Torah from a Talmud Chacham. You know who said it? It's a Gemara in Brachis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan,
Mishum Rab Shimon Bar Yechai. Instead, it's Rashbi L'shitasai. Omer Rab Shimon, Misichasai Shrava Gamliel, Lamadnu Shnei Dvarim. Rab Shimon was the one who understood that G'doy L'shimusha Yaisam. You don't see from the Mishnah, G'doy L'shimusha Yaisam Elimuda, but you see G'doy L'shimusha. You see what comes out of being Meshamesh at Talmud Chacham. And it's based on this idea that Sichas Chulin Shal Talmid Chacham and Tzrichan Talmud, and sometimes there's things you can learn from being Meshamesh at Talmud Chacham. Rab Shimon took it to such an extreme. He said, G'doy L'shimusha Yaisam Elimuda. But Tuha as it relates to today's daf and really some of the topics that we've been talking about recently. So number one, we mentioned Tovi Avdoi Shel Rabbi Gamliel. I saw in the Megadim Chadashim, this is in Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Noyach, Rabbi David Yoel Weiss says that there are many, many Gemaras, even Mishnayos, Yerushalmis, Mechiltas, that talk about Tavi Avdoi Shel Rabbi Gamliel. But if you look around specifically, Chazal mentioned two mitzvahs that Tavi did. The first one is Sukkah. You see Tavi sat in a Sukkah. Now, the truth is, what you see is that Tavi slept underneath a bed in a Sukkah. But if you look in the Rishonim explained, Tavi was in the Sukkah because he wanted to be Mekayim the mitzvah Sukkah. When it got a little snuffy, he went underneath the bed because he understood at the end of the day he was Potter. And that was Rabbi Gamliel's comment. Re'isi Tavi Avdi Shu Talmud Chacham V'yoideya Shabbat HaPetur Menat Sukkah. Oh, but at the end of the day, he was in the Sukkah. Why was he in the Sukkah? Because Tavi wanted to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah. That's Pashat. There's a Yerushalmi right here in the beginning of the second parak of Masechta Sukkah. It's also in the 10th parak of Masechta Erevin, parak HaMoitzi Tefillin, where the Yerushalmi says, Tani, Tavi Eved Rabbi Gamliel, Hoyenoisin Tefillin, V'loi Michu B'yodoi Chachonim. So the context over there is where the Gemara says in the beginning of the last parak of Masechta Erevin that Michal Bas Shol, Michal Bas Kushi, used to put on Tefillin. We have raid bites on that. Ishtoi Shol Yoina, the wife of Yoina, the Navi used to be Euler Regel. Yerushalmi adds that Tavi, Avdish, Rabbi Gamliel used to put on tefillin. So David Yoel Weiss said, there's two mitzvahs you find that Tavi did. You find that he did the mitzvah of Sukkah, and you find that he was Mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. Now it's Pashit, he was probably Mekayim other mitzvahs as well. That's not the point. But Chazal emphasized two mitzvahs. They brought out in their Hele Geverta, Midvarov, Umisichoiseyan, that Tavi, the Eved Rabbi Gamliel, was very careful in the mitzvah of Sukkah, and you see that he was very careful in the mitzvah of Tefillin. So he says, Biderech Efsher. He says, I don't know, but Biderech Efsher, maybe you can suggest a little bit of a pshat. And that is based on something that the Chidah brings in his Svarim, in the name of the Mekubalim, Darizal, and in the names of other Mekubalim as well. And that is that Tavi, who was the Eved of Rabbi Gamliel, was a Gilgal of Chum, the son of Noach. So everyone knows Noach had three sons, Shem, Chum, and Yefes. Shem was Yeshiva Shem of Aver, Yefes, well, in between, Yaftali Kimli Yefes, and then of course, Noach had a son whose name was Chum. The Pasuk says in Parshas Noach that after Noach came out of the Teva, Vayochel Noach Isha Adam, and what was the first thing that he did? Vayitaker. He planted a vineyard, Vayesh Menayayin, and then he drank from the wine that grew in this vineyard. Vayishgar, he became shikar. Vayisgal Betoich Aholoi. And then he exposed himself inside his tent. The Pasuk says, Vayarchom Avi Knan, Cham came in. He was the father of Knan as Erva Sovav. He saw the Erva of his father. Vayagid L'shnei Echa Bachutz. And he told his two brothers what were going on. Vayikach Shem V'yefes as Asimlo. So Shem and Yefes, they took this bag. They took a baguette. Vayasimo Ashchem Shneim. They covered Noach with it. Vayelcho Achiranes. But they didn't want to look at him. So when they went to their father, they didn't want to see their father in this compromised position, so they're working backwards. Vayechasu es erves aviim upneim achiranis the erves aviim loyro vayikatz noach miyenoi vayedes asher osloi bnei akotan. And then he went and he cursed Chum and he cursed his son Canaan, and that's the pasuk. So Chum goes down in history as being cursed. Chum is the one whose son is Canaan, and what happens to Canaan? Vayiknan eved lomoi. So the ultimate eved in the Torah Shebiksav was Canaan, or Canaan, the son of Chum. The ultimate Eved Canaanim that we have in Talmud Bavli was Tavi. He's Avdoi Shel Rabbi Gamliel. So said the Mekubalim, the Chidah brings us B'Shem Darizal and others, that Tavi was a Gilgal Neshama of Chum. And he said, Remez Ledavar, he said that the word Tavi is Begematria 21, Tes Vez Yod, which means the Koilel, we don't usually do this, but the Koilel of 21 is Chaf, is 20. If you take Chaf
and you put it in between the ches and the mem of Cham, what you have is Chacham. And Rabbi Gamliel in Shas referred to Tavi as a Talmud Chacham in our Mishnah. Take a look at my Eved Tavi. He's a Talmud Chacham. Look at my Eved Tavi. He's a Chacham. Why Chacham? Because this was a remez that he's a Gilgal of Cham and Tavi, which is with the Koilol Chav. You put it in between Cham, you can have Chacham. The Arizal said that Tavi is Miloshen Toiv. In Gilgulim, sometimes, apparently, the way this works is it's not the entire Gilgul, the entire Neshama that is Nisgagal, but there's aspects of it. So Tavi was a Gilgul of Cham, but it wasn't the entire Neshama of Cham. It was the Toiv. It was the Oichal Mitoich Psoilis of the Neshama of Cham. And that's why even though Cham goes down as being cursed, but at the same time, Tavi is a Kosher. Tavi is a Talmud Chacham. And that's symbolic in the name Tavi. It's Miloshen Toiv, because he's the Toiv. He's the Toiv of Cham. The Ben Yoyada, who's of course the Ben Ishchai, in Mesechtis Bava Kama Daf Ayin Dalet. See, he brings this raid that the Chida says, and he says a Dover Nifla. The Mishnah in Perek Meruba says, Meisna, there was a story with Rabbi Gamliel that he once was forced to free his slave Tavi. And the reason is because we know that an Eved Knani goes free B'shein V'ayin. So if the master of an Eved knocks out the tooth or the eye, he blinds one of the eyes of an Eved, so the Halachi goes out B'shein V'ayin. And the Mishnah says there was a story Shesimas Ein Tavi Avdo. The Rabbi Gamliel was Mesama the Ayin of Tavi Avdo. So it says the Ben Yoyada, why is it that Tavi, at the end of the day, his fate was that he ended up being freed by being blinded by Rabbi Gamliel? So he says, Yesh Loimar, based on what the Chida says, B'shem Adrim HaKubalim. That what was the Avera, who was Tavi? Tavi was Cham. What was the Avera of Cham? The Pasuk says, Vayar Cham Avi Kenan Es Ervas Aviv. What does the Pasuk say regarding Shem and Yefes? Vayelchu Achiranis, Vayechasu Es Ervas Avim, Upneim Achiranis, Ve'ervas Avim Loirohu. Cham was Vayar Cham Avi Kenan. The other brothers were Ve'ervas Avim Loirohu. The chet of Cham was with Re'iyah. And because Tavi had to be Mesakin, the chet of Cham, he was the toiv of that neshama that had to come down to this world as a tikkun. So what ended up happening to Tavi? What happened to Tavi was he ended up becoming blind because that was a tikkun to what Cham did. Vayar Cham Avi Kenan. And he says another remez is the word Tavi is tes veiz yud. So if you rearrange the letters, it's yud beiz tes, which means Yabet, Miloshin Vayabet, to look, to see. Because Tavi came to be Mesakin, the Vayar Cham, the Yabet of Cham, and the Tikkun happened by him being the Talmud Chacham, and him being this great Eved that's a Kosher, and by him being the Yad Yamin of the great Nasi Rabbi Gamliel, but at the same time he had to become blind, Soif Yomov, because that was the way he was Mesakin, the Vayar Cham, Avi Kenan. So all this is brought down in the Megadim Chadashim and Parshas Noach and the Pasuk Vayar Cham, Avi Kenan. So then Rav David Yoyawai says that Yesh Loimar Bederech Efsher. He says that we find that Tavi Abdu Rosham Gil did two mitzvahs. He did the mitzvah of Sukkah. That's our mission in the beginning of the second parak of Masechta Sukkah. And then you have the Yerushalmi right here in the second parak of Sukkah and the Yerushalmi in the 10th parak of Masechta Seirvin, that Tavi also was Mekayim the mitzvah of Tvon. He said, why these two mitzvahs? So he says, Yesh Loimar. There's a medrash in Parashas Achirmois. The medrash says, Im Osiso Chaviloi Shal Averos, Asei Kinegdom Chaviloi Shal Mitzvahs. If a person did Averos, so Kinegdom he should do mitzvahs. Not just that. If a person did an Avera with a particular Aver, he should look to do mitzvahs with that same Aver, because by doing a mitzvah with that Aver, he'll be mesakin the Avera that he did. Says the Medrash, Einayim Ramois. If someone has Einayim Ramois, he did an Avera with his Einayim, what should he do? V'hoyu l'taitofa yisbein Einecha. What he should do is he should put on tefillin, and he brings from the Shlach Kodesh's father, and he brings from the Shevet Musner, from the Svarim HaKadoshim, that the mitzvah of tefillin is a tikkun for the pgam einayim. That if a person looked at something that he's not supposed to look on, and there's a pgam in his einayim, v'hoyu l'taytof is bein einecha, when he puts on tefillin, specifically the tefillin shal roish, the tefillin is mesakin on the pgam of einayim. But says Reb David Yoyawai, there's one other mitzvah, he said, that I found in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, that links directly to the pgam of einayim. And he says, that's the mitzvah of sukkah. Sukkah, the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, is from the Lashon of Histaklus. It's from the Lashon of seeing. And he says, when a Yid sits in a sukkah, and he looks at the sukkah, he can be mesakin the pkamei naim. He says, that's the reason that a sukkah she gevoyah l'mayla miyaser mamas psula. And the reason is, Rabbi said, because it says, l'man yedu deriseichen, and up until 20 yamas sholta be'enu. But once he yoyse miyaser mamas, it's loy sholta be'enu. What's the reason? Who cares if it's loy sholta be'enu? What's the pnimiyas o'inyin? Because the sukkah is mesakin. And if you can't see the schach, you have no tikkun on your einayim. So it's ikar chaser from the sukkah on the deeper level. And it's for that reason, sukkah. So said Rabbi Elias, if Tavi Avdi Shabbat was coming to do what? He had to be mesakin Cham. And what was the chet of Cham? The Ben Yoyada said in Mesak Spav Kamet Perik Merubah, based on the Chidah, it was Vayar Cham. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel was mesame einoy shel Tavi. So what was he coming to do? He had to be mesakin the pkam einayim. There's two mitzvahs that are mesakin the pkam einayim. You have the mitzvah of sukkah, you have the mitzvah of filling. That's why the two mitzvahs you find, the Chazal were matkish, that he went ahead and he was makbin on, are the mitzvah of tefillin and are the mitzvah of sukkah. And we'll stop here.